everybody. It's your host, Ruthie of the Defiant Business Podcast, and we are well into season three, talking about the future of marketing. And today's episode is about what's next for podcasting. Now, I don't know about you, but podcasting was hot to all of the people I talked to in 2019. I know it's been growing over the last few years and we've seen a lot of growth in a lot of different avenues, but wow, 2019 was like the year of the podcast. It seemed like everybody and their mom got a podcast. And that is why what's next is so important. A lot of people are doing the same thing with their podcast as everyone else. I think a lot of podcast hosts undervalue the value of what they have to say to their audience, which is why I focus on delivering solid consulting marketing advice to anybody who chooses to listen to this podcast, you know, because those are my clients, the consultants, consulting firms, the digital service providers, business service providers. Those are the people that I work with. And those are the people who seem to value what it is that I have to say. So that is why I do that. I do my podcast this particular way. It is me talking a lot, and I'm hoping that it's me educating a lot. So back to podcasting in general, what sort of growth have we seen? Well, over half of Americans who are 12 and older have said that they've listened to a podcast ever, which is amazing. That's a huge step that we've taken. All right. More than half of Americans, Americans who would be cognizant of it, have listened to a podcast in their life. That kind of marks podcasting as crossing over into the mainstream. One third of the same population, according to Edison's research, have reported listening to a podcast in the last month. That's huge. So that's 90 million monthly listeners. And when you choose to listen to a podcast, it's something that you click on. It's something that you want to hear. So even if you're not consistently listening the entire hour, it was something that you wanted to hear. That's not necessarily the same as radio. You may choose the radio station, but it doesn't mean that you're consciously listening. And let's be honest, most of us tune anything we don't want to hear out if it's actually on. So one of the areas of growth that they've seen is with celebrity podcasts. And there's two minds about this. Celebrity podcasts, it does introduce the medium of podcasting to more people because they share on their social media or maybe their website that they've started this podcast and more people download the podcasting apps where, you know, podcasts like mine can be found if they're interested. But then some of the top tier podcasters who aren't necessarily celebrities feel that celebrity hosts might be, you know, kind of dragging down podcasting. But overall, I think that it will have a positive effect.
To write it off, you got to have the money first. And so if you don't have the money, then there's nothing to write off, is there? You know, if you're like, oh, it's $1,000 to go to that conference, I'll just write it off. Wait, do you have $1,000 to just, you know, throw at this conference? Because you're not really going to see the benefit of that money until you file your taxes the next year. It's not like they give you back that conference money. So you need to have the money, you know, so that way you don't run out and then your business fails. And this is something I see a lot with freelancers too. And that is just that they go through feast and famine cycles. And sometimes those famine cycles are just a little too hard. And then you end up, you know, needing to go get a job or do work that you're not really happy with. You're, you know, begging for work, basically. And that's just not a really good position to be in. And then 14% failed because of poor marketing, which is something I do see a lot of. And it says poor marketing, but I would also say that there are probably people who don't market. And that's, you know, that's any type of business. What typically happens is you're marketing, you're talking to people, you're going to events, you're posting on social media. You may even have some Facebook ads, depending on what your business is, what your business model is, what your product is, service, and you're posting, you've got a ton of ads up. And then you get client work or you get a lot of customer orders and then you stop marketing. right? So you put your marketing through the feast and famine cycle as well. The problem with that is that you end up with an inconsistent client or customer pipeline, and that causes your business, your revenue, to go through feast and famine. So the key here, I think, is that especially when you consider less traditional type businesses, so the numbers that I talked about here with the businesses failing, you know, 20% in the first year, 50% in the first five, and 70 in the first 10, and then 42% fail because there isn't a market need for their offering, 29% ran out of money, and 14% they failed because of poor marketing. What about less traditional businesses, though? Do those numbers apply to them? I'm sure that when you count less traditional businesses, like freelance businesses, businesses that never go beyond being an LLC, maybe, or a solo owner. I mean, if they're not filed as LLCs, but like less, you know, maybe web designers, agencies, writers, developers, the kinds that are almost completely remote, they don't need offices. What about those businesses? When you add those numbers in, how high are those numbers then? And for almost everyone that I speak with, all the small business owners that I speak with, and even some of the medium-sized businesses, the top reason that they're struggling is that they are not consistent with their business development. And part of business development is marketing. Or at least, you know, there's business development, there's sales, and there's marketing. And that's like that trifecta that you have to consistently work on. You have to show up every day. Right? You have to show up every day for your sales and your marketing and your business development. If you don't, you risk going through the feast and famine cycles. And one of those times, the famine cycle is going to come at a point where it's too hard. And you're going to have to do something that makes you unhappy, because you have to pay a mortgage, you have to take care of your kids, you've got to take care of your pets, you've got to take care of your debts. So you have a responsibility to them to show them that you are in fact doing these things so they can make the most informed choice. So it probably sounds a little bit differently when I put it that way, because you think maybe, hey, maybe it's bragging. Maybe I should just do it to do it and do the good thing. But if you don't show that you're doing it, if you don't prove that you're doing it, then your customers aren't going to believe you're doing it. And that's your responsibility to them. Help them make the best choice, because they're going to make a choice. Maybe they don't choose you, but then they hear later that you're doing these things and they're saying, hey, how come I didn't hear about this before? And you're like, oh, well, we didn't want to brag about it. And be like, okay, well, because you didn't say anything, I chose this other company and I would have chosen you, and that would have made me happier. Right? So you don't want that on you. All right. So those are probably my top numbers for conscious consumerism. And this is something you need to bring into your business. We will be talking about this more, but I'm coming up on the end of my 10 minutes. And that is what the defiant sourcing is typically what you do first, because you don't necessarily have enough for a full or part-time employee. I will link to our outsourcing video and blog post in the show notes, but I'm coming up here on the end. So this has been Ruthie, owner of Defy the Status Quo, on the Defiant Business Podcast. Thank you for listening. See you next time.